Thank you very much to Mr. Rosen, and I must say he has done everything one could possibly do to help me personally to get here right and to have an understanding of the program that you're running here, which is very impressive, and to organize today's event. I'd like to personally also thank Rabbi Luban. Appreciate Rov takes time off this time of the year to come and join someone else's shir. I think we have to appreciate the significance of that act. Just on a lighter vein, every man is a bit of a little boy inside him. I still like cars. And I was driving up the road, I said to my wife, we drive a Buick Roadmaster. Oh, there's another Roadmaster, come on. So we thought, okay, so this is number 216. We've got about another mile to go up the road because we didn't realize how the numbering goes in this road in South First Avenue. So I just remembered that car. Then I came back and realized that probably Hashem Yisburach put it there because he knew I'd noticed a Buick Roadmaster. This is the place we're meant to go to. Okay, so own up the owner. Whose is it now? Come on. It's a good car, isn't it? I think so. Okay, right. So join me on this journey without the Buick, but I think you will find something in it for everyone. We've tried to give sheets. Baruch Hashem, there are more people here than sheets. It's very encouraging to see that although I went to our school quickly, rush in the morning after Slichas, to make some copies of this handwritten sheet. I know it's out of fashion to do things by hand, but that's what makes it interesting. So I guess you have to do some sharing or some way be able to follow 11 points, which is a bit much to memorize, so that it's nice and handy to have the sheet in front of you as we go through it. Before we get to that, I'd like to comment on this very impressive ACTT module number 2, packet 2 on Kavona during davening, which I have to tell you, Rabbi Isai, that when I got it, I went to my good friend and colleague in Monsi, Mr. Yisrael Safran. I'm sure Rabbi Luma remembers him well because he's my partner in crime. We do this filler program together. And he couldn't believe it. He was so impressed. He right away wanted to make a copy, download it. And he was really very excited about it. Just one little thing, if I can just correct, especially ask me please to correct the phone number of the Change You Where You Daven program, or really we call it awareness program for Tefillah, which I'm sure is going to be ever so relevant since everybody now very appropriately is focusing on Tefillah till your next module comes out. The phone number is 845 is correct, then it's 3628000, extension 106. I'll tell you why I bother to tell you this. I'll tell you why. Here you have a businessman in insurance who has a line in the office for this mitzvah. He does not mind to be disturbed any time during his business day with the tefillah program. Otherwise, he'd have this only at home. But that's how some people work. That's how the brocha comes in when you're willing to give Hashem also a free line in your business. So while we've got this open, I thought I'd mention to you, I read through the Kavona, the Soul of Prayer piece. I guess everybody has seen this already. And I was very impressed to see that many of the ideas have famous sources. For example, the little story there, the anecdote about the man who said, I've not spoken for 40 days, and where's the revelation? Said, no, did you daven? Well, if you daven, then you've spoken empty words, unless you're focused on your davening. This, I believe, it's a story of the famous Rebbe of Rizhin, if I don't have a mistake, or one of the classic Chassidish Rebbes. Then again, the idea that Kavona is the neshama, is the soul of prayer. That is written in many early sforim, also quoted in the Tanya. We had another one there, the arrow's power and distance depends on the pressure exerted by the archer. I checked it out. It's the Kotzke Rebbe's gem. And so it goes on. All these ideas, I want to tell you, my friends, are actually well-sourced and very well-researched. So I was very glad to see that the information here and the material here is really the top type of information that you want for inspiration on davening. One final thought that may be of value to all of us is that the pasuk is quoted, Hashem is close to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him sincerely. Koroiv Hashem, lechol koirov, Hashem is close particularly to those who call him in truth or sincerely is an appropriate translation. But it's interesting, the famous Siddur, Oitzat Tefillah is probably the first and foremost classic siddur with detailed commentary, several commentaries, which give you pshat, the basic meaning of your davening. And he says something interesting there. The pasuk is not withdrawing from the original statement, Korav Hashem l'chol korav, to all who call him. Then we pause and say, l'chayla sheyikra'u be'emes, which I can understand an interpretation which would say that you have to be thinking what you're saying, you have to have kavona, intention. He said it means something else as well though. If we are generally honest, upstanding and truthful people, l'chayl asheyikra'u, pause, be'emes, who conduct themselves according to the middah of emes, these are the people whose tefillahs are heard. And since here we have a community where people are working to better themselves and looking for self-improvement, surely that comes under the heading of be'emes, truthful people, sincere people, these are the people whose tefillahs are heard. So that's a little introduction to what I thought I'd share with you. The other two things I'd like to do with you in the time we have is to go through the points on the sheet, but also to give out some handouts. Now I've learned this the hard way. I like to be very honest and open with everybody. I used to come like a novice, give out a million handouts before the speech, and nobody listened to a single word. They're busy reading. And then they leave it there when they go home. No, we do it differently nowadays. We give it out afterwards. And we've even perfected that to a fine art. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to comment on each little handout that you know what you're getting. And if Phil doesn't mind to give it out to the people, I'll give my wife for the ladies' side as well. They should also have a fair chance. And Baruch Hashem, there are more people here than their handouts. But okay, you know, you can always tear them in two or do it whatever you wish. But the idea being that if at least you know what you're getting, surely it's much more meaningful. Okay, let's start with a Dvar Torah, which is the obvious way to start any presentation. I'll bring you from one of my favorites, which is Reb Tzodok HaKohen Milublin. Outstanding Torah genius in Lublin, needless to say, Chassidish Rebbe, obvious bias, of course. And he gives an incredible insight here about kavona, intention, focus, concentration in davening. We know that this is not an easy one. And we know that every day it's a new nisoyon, a new challenge. And aside from the problem of socializing in shul, which we're not going to focus on that much today, but even if we have the perfect decorum, the ideal atmosphere, perfect company as well, it still is a battle every single day. Every Shachris, every Mincha, every Maariv, every Shabbos, every Yontif. And of course when you have a day like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, many hours, and the tefillahs are not so easy to understand, we should have a machzor with translation, but still to concentrate that the mind should flow along with the mouth, it isn't easy. So he brings the following idea. He brings the Yerushalmi teaches us, Reb Chiya said, Ano min yoyme loy kavonis. I never, from the first of my days, I never had kavona. What, Reb Chiya? You didn't even think what you were saying? You were dreaming during davening? It can't be. And then he says, another Gemara tells us, Reb Chiya was a person, he would say, Mashi v'ruach, which will start, of course, on Shmini Atzeres, that there should be a wind. We need wind. We don't want a hurricane, but we need wind. As soon as he said it, the wind would blow. Murid HaGoshem V'osamitra. He would say, Murid HaGoshem Hashem allows the rain to fall down, and it would begin to rain. So, don't tell me that Reb Chiya never had kavona in his davening. It's impossible. How can you entertain the idea? So Reb Tzodok HaKohen tells us an amazing insight. Reb Chiya was one of those people to whom it was effortless. It was almost automatic. He didn't have to specially remind himself, now I'm standing before Hashem, now I need to forget everything else, never mind the business, the family and communal responsibilities, now let's think about the siddur or the machzor. Reb Chiya was the type of person, as soon as he came to shul, that would do itself. We, he says, have to say Hashem, sefosai tiftach ufi yagitu losecho. We are honest, l'chayla sheyikra'u be'emes, we want to be sincere and we want to be realistic. So we admit that for us it is a problem. Particularly come for mincha or ma'ariv in the middle of a day's activity or work or whatever commitments we may have, a woman in her experience, a man in his. So therefore we have to admit that when we begin to daven, the chances are our mind will be crowded with thoughts relating to what we were just doing. So we begin, Hashem sefosai tiftoch, don't just open my lips, but also help me to be focused on what I'm saying. Ufi yagitul asecha, not just lip service, I should actually praise you with every sincerity. So that's the Dvar Torah I thought we would begin with, that what the Reb Chiya is teaching us, says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, is there were people who were so attached to Hashem, such a devekus, such a commitment, that when they came to daven, it almost did itself. They never had to make what we do have to do, a conscious effort. We definitely have to make a conscious effort, and that is why this program is set up, this very impressive program, and that is why we have this meeting, this shiur today, a perfect thing to do on Tzom Gedalia. This is the tefillah season, come on. Rosh Hashanah through till the end of the Yom Tovim is of course a season of tefillah. I believe that this program will continue a bit after, which is a great idea. I'll tell you why. I had occasion to do another shiur in Pesach this morning and shared with them an amazing thought from the famous Magid of Yerushalayim, Rav Sholem Shvadron, Zichrono Livrocha. I'm sure many people have read the books by Rabbi Pesach Kron. Rabbi Pesach Kron's original inspiration, as he writes in his books, was from Rav Shvadron, who we Londoners definitely remember very well. You just cannot imitate him. The only way to hear Rav Shvadron is the original tape, or from memory, as we remember from earlier years when he was still visiting various countries and came to speak. So Rav Sholem Shvadron, in his Sefer for Chodesh Elul, writes this. Chodesh Elul, we all try to improve, and particularly now, Tishri, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Metshuva, everybody, why have we come all together? Obviously for that reason. But there is a little Yetzirah as well. So Yetzirah says, you know, I'll do a deal with you, and here's the deal. Okay, you know, if you insist, have Elul if you want it, and have Tishri as well. I know you're getting all frumal religious in Tishri. Okay, you know what? As long as you give me Cheshvan. Okay, how's that? Forget it all afterwards. As soon as Yom Tov is over, imagine it never happened. So that's where we come in. I see, Baruch Hashem, the tefillah program is going to continue. Was it till November? That's the idea. It's going to continue to November into Kislev, because the Yidden here understand that it's not just a temporary thing for a few weeks, you know, okay, so we'll be religious now in Chodesh Tishri, Yomim Tovim, fine, and we'll go on to other stuff. No, it's going to carry on into the year, and Emet Hashem, it will carry on forever. Okay, so let's take a look at our sheets, and I think that's going to be helpful for everyone. We can remember the points that we've looked at, and obviously, please do take them with you later, and of course, if you want to write notes on them, your decision. The very first suggestion for Kavona, you see, to change the way you daven, I must admit this is an earlier shiur which was given before, but I think no harm done, 11.704, no crime. This is a shiur which is valid any time. So the first point surely is, a lot of learning is required to support our davening. I think that's natural, it's logical, it's obvious. And in the schools they do learn about tefillah. I'm sure Rabbonim give shiurim on tefillah from time to time. It's becoming a bit more the in thing. And to divide it into three different areas, let me tell you what they are. Look at the sheet. Learn halacha, biur, and the concept. I'm going to turn it the other way around. The concept is just generally to understand what tefillah is in a nutshell, in a peanut shell, not coconut, in a peanut shell. It's to communicate effectively with Hashem. We have friends, we have family. If we don't talk to them, then we will lose contact. So there are many people we called who live far away. We called them before Rosh Hashanah. We've got to keep in touch with friends and family. So, lehavdil, with Hashem, we must be in touch with Him regularly, on a daily basis, many, many times a day. I know today we're fasting, but tonight amidst Hashem, brochas before we eat. Brochas after we eat. Every time a brochas asher yotzar. Every time, how are you? Baruch Hashem. Will I see you tomorrow? Im yetzeh Hashem. Even that, a mini tefillah. So we are in contact with Hashem constantly. The concept of tefillah is just that. To maintain a constant contact, just like people like to carry cell phones these days. We don't need a cell phone for Hashem. We just open our mouth, or we can even sometimes simply have it in mind. So that's the concept. The biur is the explanation of our davening. Now, of course, these machzorim today and the parallel sidurim are very, very popular. The art scroll, it's a blessing, quite honestly, for our generation. We'll hear a little story. I'm sure you all know of or may have met the famous Rosh Yeshiva Hagun of Shmuel Kamenetsky, Shlita. And apparently one time a Talmid, a pupil, saw that he had an art scroll siddur on his shtender and said, "Rebbe, you don't need that, do you?" He said, "No, I don't, but you do." In other words, if the Rosh Yeshiva has it on his shtender, then the boy, the Talmid, the student, is not going to be embarrassed. And believe you me, especially for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's a gem. It's a gem. I used it with some girls to show the breakdown of the tefillah, to analyze the tefillah, to give it headings, to understand exactly what's happening during that mighty long Amida of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. The art scroll is the answer. Because that way, even if we don't read the entire translation, but of course there are moments in Shul where we can look at the translation or the footnotes, but even just to understand structure, it's particularly helpful. So that is to do with Biur HaTefillah, which means the more we know of the meaning, the better our chance to daven with effect. So that's very obvious. And the third one is the halacha. Everybody knows there is extensive halacha on tefillah to get it right. Typically, if we forget now, zochein l'chaim. If we say by mistake, okay, l'kodosh. Obvious shalas, forget aneinu, tanis, mincha. And not only about forgetting, there's a tremendously large section, the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, on tefillah. Then you've got Shabbos and you've got Yom Tov. So therefore, the more we are familiar with the halacha, the more we get it right. Obviously, it can only enhance our davening in general. So these are the three things: learn the halacha, the biur means the explanation, and the concept, the more appreciation we have generally of the concept of tefillah, can only enrich the experience. And actually, that flows into number two, which is the Torah connection. Torah feeds tefillah. Torah sustains tefillah. I'm sure we all have our times which we devote to learning. I guess the men more so than the women, but probably the shiurim for the women too. The women like to read. There's so much literature available today, Torah literature. There's no doubt about it that aside from learning about tefillah, but actually learning anything will enhance tefillah. I'll tell you a little story I had personally in London. I was working in what they call there the JLE. JLE is Jewish Learning Exchange, which is actually a kind of Oyer Sameach branch in northwest London. And we would have young men who were beginners, who were mature beginners, as it were, who were not brought up religious. And I was once talking to them about the value of learning something before we daven. And I've repeated this little story many a time, but I'd like to share it with you too. I said to him, "Tell me, if I were to learn something about tefillah, okay, so we can understand, that's obviously going to give a boost to the davening. But if we would learn something totally disconnected, the parasha, we learn something in the parasha of the week. Well, now it's going to be Vezoy Sabrocha we've got to learn. Not an easy one. Okay, get ready for Bereishis soon enough. How's that going to impact my davening?" Now this fellow, I don't know for how long he was into Torah and mitzvahs, but certainly not born into it. He said to me, this was his answer, "It's the kedusha of the Torah. It's the holiness of the Torah, the inspiration the Torah gives, which will open your heart and mind to daven better." What a great answer. What a true answer. That is the answer. And it's absolutely right. So therefore, if we learn something before we daven, it doesn't really matter what it is. It can be the halachas of Shabbos. It can be a bit of Chofetz Chaim in English, in any language. It can only help. So that is number two, the tefillah connection. I have to tell you that these ideas are sourced. I have still the original here, which you don't have on your sheet. This comes, by the way, from the Shlora Kodesh. Just to be reassuring that what we're saying is not just Stam. It's not Buick Roadmasters now. This is real stuff. Okay. Number three. Number three is actually also in the Mishnah. Some of the men may be familiar. In the Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch, it's the idea, you know, we're a society always under pressure and always rushing. It's the idea, doesn't matter. It's the idea of giving ourselves a moment to collect our thoughts before we start to daven. Again, if we may talk about motoring for a second, this won't apply if you drive an automatic. But if you're back in the UK and drive a car with gears and go into neutral, so you have to wait for the revs to die down, if you get what I mean. In other words, we come in, even in the morning, got 1,000 things in our mind. We've got to let the mind rest first. Just stop. Do nothing. Meditate for a moment and then begin. It's a tremendously precious tip. If you want to daven, as said, effectively, relax, wait, and then start. Now again, I have a reference, if some people want to make a note of it, Erechaim, Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tzadik, and Siman Tzadik Gimel. This is based, again, perhaps more for the people on my left, the Mishnah Chasidim, Horishoinim, Hoyushoyim, Shorachas, Umispalim. They allow themselves a full hour, the Mefarshim say. 60 minutes, we just can't do it. We haven't got the patience to do it. We'd lose our thoughts. We'd get back into business thoughts if we would do that. But if we allow ourselves just a few moments, as there's another Gemara, that lo olam yikones odom shia shnei psochim v'achakach yispala. Like here, we came in from the front, and then there's another door, if not more, but another door to get into shul. It took us only a brief moment. Allow ourselves, says the Gemara, that amount of time just to stop and think before we begin. Now, there you go. Da lifnei mi ato oimed. Doesn't that deserve a moment of our time? To stop and think before whom we are standing. So when we get into shul, or for the women, when you, and we'll come to this later in Mitzvah Hashem, you have your little spot at which you like to daven. So then, if you, at that spot, when you reach it in the morning, pause for a second or two, and think, Dalif Neymiatoim, before whom am I standing now? Who am I addressing? That again is a very appropriate introduction and mental and emotional preparation for davening. So that was item number three. Number four, it's interesting, I mentioned Rav Kamenetsky Shlita, when we had a tefillah session, I think it's now nearly 2 years ago at the Aguda convention, so Rav Kamenetsky went a bit from session to show a chizuk participation in various different sessions. When he came into ours, I said to him, Rav Kamenetsky, maybe just a few words. This is what he said to us. He said, don't forever daven from the same siddur. From time to time, change your siddur. Bring a freshness into it. And a siddur you like. So I put down number four. This was actually written before that event. Your favorite siddur. A siddur you like. You buy one of your children, your son or your daughter, a siddur. It's a good idea to go with them to the Sforim store. Let them choose. If you like your siddur, you're much more likely also to daven well from it. And from time to time, a new siddur, because at the previous year we were just talking about doing everything by rote. Again, autopilot, you know, cruise control. Cruise control, they warn you, can get out of control. So therefore, the same thing applies here. We want to daven with the freshness, although we're saying the same every day. So therefore, if we like the siddur, and from time to time we get ourselves a new siddur, don't wait till it falls apart. So that would also be helpful. That's number four. Number five is your favorite shul. Now, of course, sometimes geography dictates which shul we're going to go to. We're very spoilt. We live in Muncie, so from our house to the shul, which we have chosen, we probably pass half a dozen others. But if you daven in a shul which is to your liking, because you feel that that kind of davening suits you, you feel connected with the Rav, which is very, very important. Rabbi Lubin will confirm that. A person davens in a shul should be connected to a Rav. Where did I hear this recently said that a Rav was very disturbed by someone who would come to the shul on Friday night and would not say good Shabbos after davening was over? But I don't need it for my honor. But walking out without saying good Shabbos is a disconnection. Something's wrong over there. And so therefore, it's the shul, it's the rov, it's the other members of the shul, it's the type of davening, it's the facilities the shul offers. All this, if it's selected well, again, can only help. And your own place in the shul. Now, this is halacha again, it's in the Gemara in Brochus, it's brought down in halacha, that a person should be koveya mokum litfilosoi. We have a place, there's some place names it seems on some of the seats here for the ladies as well, because if you daven in the same place, you're familiar with the neighbors, you're familiar with the surroundings, it's so much easier to concentrate. Now I mentioned for the ladies' sake as well, that we recommend them at home, and since they largely will daven at home, to select a spot in the house, not somewhere where you're going to be interrupted every 2 minutes, right by the phone or between the fridge and the cooker. You know, choose a quiet spot where you're likely to have what we call yishuv hadas, peace of mind, and that's also, in a sense, hakoveya mukum litfilos. So this is the place where I daven. So my late sister, Leah Sholem, she had a spot she carefully chose, which it became like her little shul, her own little shul in her house, and it became kodesh. And that is a very precious thing to do. And the Sfas Emes adds, it's like you're creating a hotline from that spot straight upstairs. And even in the shul, you have your seat. That is your personal hotline from that point. So that was number five. Number six, a level head, serious but serene. I'll tell you what this is. This is also actually Gemara, or Mishnah, I should say. The Mishnah and the Gemara broadens it, and Shulchan Aruch. Tefillah is serious business, but also should be done with a certain measure of joy. Not a Purim-style joy, and not a Chasna-style joy, but Ivdu es Hashem besimcha. Serve Hashem in joy is valid even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and certainly on Sukkot, and for sure on Simchas Torah. But even every day there should be a streak of joy running through it, because we're glad that we talk to Hashem on a regular basis. So although it should have a level head, Koyved Rosh is the wording in the Mishnah, which is a serious frame of mind, the Gemara explains, Gilu Bir Odo, we can rejoice mingled with the feeling of awe. It's no contradiction, and therefore this beautiful blend in mood would be the perfect mindset for davening. So we put it serious but serene. Serene means calm. Again, wait till the revs die down. Idea being, that moment of relaxation mentioned in number three, if we allow ourselves that moment, we just stand there perhaps with our eyes closed, or sit if you prefer, just to be able to clear the mind, especially from Mincha and Maariv, when we're coming from outside, a busy day, with much pressure, so that is going to help us a great deal. So serene. When people get all tensed up if they're davening, it doesn't work. You can't concentrate that way. There's got to be relaxed, a blend of a relaxed mood with a level head. So that is number six. Now here's number seven, which unfortunately has been a problem since the cell phones were introduced. Now, we can't avoid bringing our thoughts with us into the shul. We try to limit that as far as we can. We can't avoid that there are people in the shul we might want to talk to, and you'll have to have Rabbi Luban's book to read, which I'll give out a few remaining copies, to be able to get on top of that temptation. And that is what we call Moira Mikdosh, to have a deep respect for the place we daven and for the act of davening. But the cell phone, I'm afraid, is a problem. And to turn it off is one thing, but you know, it would be a blessing if they could be left at home. Because what we're really effectively doing, and I've seen this, I have to tell you, I've seen this with people trying to learn. I cannot forget seeing two young men in Arbis Medish, beautiful shul, and two people who can learn and want to learn. They're both in business. They sat down after Shacharis on a weekday morning, each one with his cell phone. I cannot tell you the number of times they were disturbed. I felt, what a shame. I said to them, you're already devoting time to learning after davening in the morning when other people have already gone to work. If you're doing this already, what on earth are you bringing your competition in with you? Leave the cell phone at home, or turn it off at least, so you can have, even if it's 20 minutes, learning time, and then go out into the big wide world. But why bring it in here so you're in front of your Gemara, you're not actually learning, and so it's not working. So this is something we must think of, just like the halacha doesn't permit us to hold when we're davening anything that might cause distraction, of course a siddur, but anything which could interfere with our focus in davening. So the cell phone is the obvious one. So that's number seven. What's number eight? Number eight is, we all know there's an ideal of davening with our eyes closed. I would not recommend it, by the way, Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Okay? But maybe for this morning, a weekday morning, although we've got a risk of forgetting Zachreinu, Michamoicha, Melech HaKodesh, etc. But on a regular weekday morning, and maybe for some of us even on Shabbos, it might just work. Here's the story. It is an ideal, but we need to know, if we're going to do it, that we are in davening mode. What does that mean? I'm really in the mood, my head is clear, I feel relaxed, I'm alert, and I'm now with it. I'm into my davening. I cannot begin to tell you how helpful the siddur is when we aren't quite in that mood, which very often happens, even on Shabbos. And you know what? It might sound childish, I have to confess I do this sometimes, to actually even point to the words. It is the most unbelievable support for concentration. To use a siddur, Baruch Hashem, we are on short of siddurim. We're not like in the olden days when they had to daven by heart, they had to memorize their davening by heart. When there was a problem, we learn in the Mishnah in Brochus, if the chazan, the Baal Tefillah, got confused, he would have to be replaced by somebody else, because once he got confused and lost his flow, so then he would panic and somebody else had to take over. Baruch Hashem, we have Sidurim in plenty, and it is the greatest support for our davening. So, close eyes, or siddur, answer is you decide. We have references for this as well. Shulchan Aruch, Tzadik Aleph, or Tzadik Hey. Again, what does it mean? There is something particularly precious about davening with your eyes closed. We need to know every day afresh, are we up to it? Or would it be better to use the siddur? And we would then say, Oisiois Machkimois. The letters make us wise, just like with learning. You know, it's just like the idea of giving out these sheets. Everybody's listening ever so carefully, Baruch Hashem. But you know, it's nothing like having the sheet in front of you. You can follow, telling you now, we're at number 8, and shortly we'll be doing number 9. So it makes it a lot easier to take in the material. We have a lot of material. This way we can absorb it so much better. So therefore, each occasion, it's up to the individual to decide, would they rather daven maybe part of the Shemayna Esra, or maybe even all of it perhaps with the eyes closed if they know it by heart and they're confident, or would it be better to use the Siddur? I would hazard a guess, if I may say this, largely, on most occasions, the Siddur is the answer. Sometimes we will manage it by heart. Number nine also is quoted from the Sefer Rokeach. It's a good tip for the Shemayna Esra, or the Amida on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we would call it more accurately. And that is, the Shemoneh Esrei in particular is long. So before closing a brocha, before saying, Baruch Ato Hashem Choinen Adoas, Baruch Ato Hashem Oroitze B'Shuva, any of these brochas chasimas, as we call them, the closing few words, to pause there just for a moment, a brief moment. You see, it's amazing how fast the mind works. It really doesn't take long to collect your thoughts and remember, oh, that's what we're saying just now. So at a given point, before starting Baruch Ato Hashem, the end of the particular brocha, to pause there, that would certainly be a useful idea. Okay, let's move on to number 10. 24/7 pure speech. This is taken from the Chofetz Chaim, naturally, understandably, and that is the following. There are various different things which are not done in shul, but they still are going to be very supportive for our davening. We said learning generally, learning about tefillah for sure. Another one of them is Shmiras HaLoshon, which I believe you have on the program, do you sometimes, Shmiras HaLoshon, right? So everyone is obviously familiar with it and has been involved in it. You can imagine if the mouth is the keli, as it were, the vessel, the implement, the tool that we use to address Hashem, then the purer our mouth is, the more effective it'll be in tefillah. This is an argument which the Chofetz Chaim brings with support, with proofs as always. So naturally, if what we're trying to do these weeks is to upgrade the standard of our davening, then for sure, if we practice Shmiras HaLoshon, we avoid unnecessary gossip, this can obviously only be helpful. It's from here that there is a Chassidish custom, I wouldn't say it's very widespread, but it's brought in the advice, generally in the service of Hashem, in many of the Chassidish classics, that it would be a great idea in the morning to minimize conversation generally before we begin to daven. There are even those who don't talk at all until they finish their shacharis. The idea being that once we get involved in talking, conversation, you never know where it may lead you. Whereas if we reserve the few minutes before davening, if we have a few minutes spare to learn something, just go to shul, tell us tefillin, and get on with it. That is a great tip. because that will give, at least locally, within that day, a purity of speech, a shmiras haloshen, which can only enhance the tefillah. And finally on your sheet you've got number 11. What is number 11? Number 11 is the following. Now, swaying during davening is an ancient custom. Interestingly, based on a pasuk we had on Rosh Hashanah, Vayar ho'om vayonu'u, vayamdu meirochoik, vayonu, they were sort of swaying and shaking, which somehow comes naturally to many, both when we daven and we learn. The Shloa Kodesh, who has 10 fascinating points about tefillah, tells us that it's inappropriate to do so during Shemoneh Esrei. He says, would it be correct to stand in front of a king, put your requests before him, and shake like the trees in a storm? That's what he says. Now, he says therefore the following. The tefillah is divided into various different parts. When we do the psukei de zimra, which is, if you like, the build-up, the introduction, warm-up, yeah, warm-up time, so then we should raise our voice, say it with a bit of a tune. If there is some physical involvement, it can help that warm-up. But ultimately, he says, when you get to the Shemoneh Esrei, which is the peak, which is the close communication with Hashem Yisborach, at that point, he said, Kol atzmoisai toimarno is no longer relevant. Kol atzmoisai toimarno means all of my body, all my bones, all my limbs, all my organs participate. Not now. At the tefillah of Shemoneh Esrei, it's different. I'm going to give it a Kabbalistic twist for you as well. The tefillah goes through the four well-known worlds, which I don't know whether these concepts are familiar, Asiya, Yetzira, Beria, and Atzilus. We won't even go into what they represent, but just to say this, Atzilus is the highest, the ultimate, and is the level of the Amida, the Shemoneh Esrei. The word Atzilus relates to the word Eitzel, close to. When you whisper a secret to your child, or your spouse, or somebody very close, you're not moving at all. You're just standing at such close proximity, it makes no sense to raise your voice, nor does it make any sense to have any body movement. So therefore, in the Shemoneh Esrei, of course, we do have to bow in four places, but other than that, we should minimize body movement. And I've seen this by several gedolim, great Rosh Hashivas, great Rebbes, that at the Shemoneh Esrei, they're barely moving. So this is what he says as a compromise. There is something in movement in life during this warm-up period. However, he says not at the Shemoneh Esrei. There we stand in awe. If we feel that we can focus better standing still, we should definitely do it that way. And experience has taught many of us that actually for the Amida we perform much better when we stand still but relaxed. And that way we can concentrate the best. Okay, let me bring you some of the materials that I brought with various comments. As said, I think it's much better that way than to just throw them around and then have to collect them up at the end of the shiur. We called our program Change the Way You Daven. In fact, I'd like to share with you, we did this in the previous shiur earlier today, about change, just a few thoughts, and then to distribute a card which should definitely be supportive. We'll explain exactly how in changing the way we daven. Baruch Hashem, these are mamash the last lot. They're so popular, we were sold out, and we're going to reprint them in Yitzhak Hashem. But my good friend, Rabbi Yisrael Safran, he gave me absolutely the last before Yom Tov, the last he had, which I specially reserved for this particular gathering. Now, so change. The first principle in change in any area of life has to be that we find the current situation intolerable. Otherwise, we all know, we stay in comfort zone, we won't make any changes, because the way things are is much easier than to introduce changes. So assuming, let's say, I feel that my tefillah is wanting, is a bit hollow, okay, so I want to change the way I daven one line at a time. We're not going to be over-ambitious and unrealistic, we're not going to be dreamers, we're going to try to do it one line at a time. Let me just tell you the other principles of change, and then Mitzvah Hashem, a comment or two about the card, and then give them out. The second principle about change, if we really mean business, is we've got to make a firm decision. Because very often, in all of us, in our lives, in different areas, it could be family, communal, social, business, in college, in school, at work, we decide we need to make a change, and then we leave it alone. So the second thing has got to be a very firm, deliberate decision that we really, really are sincere about it. L'chol asher yikra'uhu be'emes. And then things might happen. Well, if we've done number two, we move on to number three, is the implementation of the change. Now we really have to translate it into action. Words are great, but action is what must come next. And making it brief, finally the fourth thing is maintenance. What happens if the change is not done with sufficient determination? Too quickly we'll just fall back into old patterns and old habits. So from time to time we need to review it, and we need to make sure that the change is lasting. This card is a very, very simple idea. I'll tell you what it says. Choose one line from davening each week and concentrate on the meaning. Now, I don't think there could be a better week in the year to offer around these cards, and I hope we have enough for everybody here. I hope so. If not, I'll repeat to you the phone number of Mr. Safran, and I'm sure he will make sure that they're reprinted as soon as possible and meet the demand. Okay, the idea here is to select a line of your own choosing. There are five different examples given on the card, but not necessarily telling people these are the ones you have to take. No. It's much more meaningful if it's personalized. You choose a line from whatever you daven, particularly the women who don't have to daven a full shacharis every morning. And they might choose a line that they feel is appealing to them. I would definitely suggest that you research it. Make sure, number one, obviously the translation is absolutely clear. There might be some nice footnote in the Alt Scroll or some other sefer which will explain it a bit deeper. And then you fill in week number one, and that is your choice for this week, Aseres Yomei Tshuva. And then this time next week is already after Yom Kippur. I know it's a very busy week before Sukkot, but you might just want to choose another line, and so on and so forth. So these are the cards. I'll give my wife the lady's side to give out. And Phil, if you don't mind taking for the men's side, we've distributed them fairly. So that is the handout number one, which definitely is a practical thing. If you like the idea, then you might want to keep it going and get more cards, and obviously keep on rotating. And surely the pasuk that you chose for week number one, you will not forget it when you reach week number two, which means that slowly and realistically you're building up the kavona in tefillah. Just in case ACTT want to reprint them, I'm sure they can. This is not a business. You can see the price we're charging for these various things. So therefore, if you wish to do that, I can't imagine that should be a problem. The main tachlis is that we should all try to better our davening. That's all that really matters. Now, the second one I would give to people who may have positions in shuls, someone who is a gabber, or someone who has some communal responsibility. It's a little quip in a lighter vein. If you come to shul to talk, where do you go to daven? Okay, so you might want to give these out. We do have more copies. This can go in the ladies' shul as well. I'm sure ladies never, ever, 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 ever talk during davening, but just in case, you know, you might want to put one up in the ladies' shul. Now, here is an article by a well-known personality in Staten Island, Rabbi Moshe Meir Weiss. Again, Baruch Hashem, we won't have enough for everyone, but those who feel that they would like it, please take. Nu, nu, how bad can it be already? It's obviously about the problem of socializing in shul. I know that there are shuls, yes, Rabbi Lubin knows, works on this, and maybe in this shul too, but there are places where improvement, there's still room for it, so this is something you might like to read in that connection. Okay, that's the next one. We do have bookmarks as well. We do have a lot of bookmarks. Now, I just brought two for this particular meeting. This one reads, I'm an ex-talker. If I can do it, so can you. Okay? So this is real professional. Okay. And we'll give this here to the Ezra Snoshim. Mind you, you know what, I must actually make a footnote on that one. We should talk in shul, but only to Hashem Yitzvorach. Is that a deal? Okay. And here's another one, perhaps on a more serious note. Take your davening seriously, and your davening will be taken seriously. That's also true. Okay, so maybe I'll hand some of those around, and this side as well. What else have we got? We have an article which is, you can change the way you daven. Again, this is very much on a par with what we've been discussing today. So an article to support it, some ideas which have definitely not been mentioned this afternoon. So it's an article put in the Jewish Observer some time back, and some people might enjoy reading it. Then we still have more material. There is one here, halachas. Now I did mention to you that our learning program really ought to include some halacha on tefillah. So here is a little booklet on some halacha. I'll give them more to the men's side. I guess this would be perhaps more put up on the men's side. What else? We're not finished yet. You see, we're busy people over here. Here is, do you like this title? Let's Schmooze About Davening. Like it? Okay, so that's the second book that we published by Awareness. And here we are. Sold out, yeah? Okay. And finally, I leave this till last because Achan Achan Chaviv, I was only permitted a small quantity of these because this is so popular. This is Rabbi Luban's classic, The Heavenly Call. So I think you'll have to survive on a limited number that have borrowed from each other, because this is very special, very unique, very original, and impact-making. So those are the materials I wanted to give you. And if I may just give you a quick summary now of the points we've discussed, simply that we should be able to memorize, and then you have your sheet, you have your handouts, hopefully you'll go home with some tools with which we can, yes, change the way we daven. So after the comments on the actual module and showing that, yes, everything here seems to have a very classic source, which is great, we then had the vort of Reb Tzodok HaKoyen, that when Reb Chiya said he never concentrated on davening, it actually meant he never had to make a conscious effort, but we of course do, and that's why we had this gathering today. Then we talked about learning is a support to davening. Needless to say, learning about tefillah, we said three areas. One is the concept, one is the meaning of the actual davening that we're saying, and the third one is the halacha. And then generally, learning Torah is the tonic, feeds the neshama, says the Balatanya, and therefore will sustain tefillah. We said it's important to allow ourselves just a moment to stop and relax before we begin. We said we should have our favorite siddur, we should like the siddur, we should have a siddur in good condition. We should have a shul that we particularly like, have a specific place which we always return to in shul. Our mood should be level-headed. It should be a mood which mingles joy and seriousness and calm. The next one was we don't want to bring in any intruders or competition into our davening. We don't bring any pets. And actually, we don't even kiss our children in shul. We only express our love towards Hashem Yisborach. We decided that when it comes to closing eyes or davening from the siddur, we need to choose which is going to work better for us on that given day. Generally speaking, the siddur. We said it's a good idea to pause just a second before we close the bracha in Shemina Esra. We said Shmiras Haloshen is a tremendously effective support for tefillah. And then we said to shake or not to shake, that basically we said that shaking might have its place as we work our way towards the Shemina Esra. During the Shemina Esra, generally speaking, the best thing is really to stand there calmly and serenely. And just remind everybody that davening is not only in shul, that all the brachas, birchas hamazon, when we say kriya shema at home, last thing at night, or sometimes in the morning when we're a bit late, all this is part of our general program, keeping in touch, touching base. I always tell the kids when we go to speak to them that if you met a new friend in camp in the summer and you want to keep in touch with him or her, the only way to do it is through the phone. is to telephone and to communicate. And according to the quantity and quality of those communications, that will determine the survival of the friendship. La Havdil, the same with Hashem. We want to be in touch all the time, and we do that through all the different brachas, tefillas haderech we had on the way today, amens, Baruch Hashem, Im Yirtzeh Hashem. Even when you say to a friend now on leaving, Gemar Chasima Toiva, you're giving the person a bracha, but every bracha we give is actually a tefillah to Hashem. Because we're not able to guarantee that person Gemar Chasima Toiva. So we're actually saying a tefillah to Hashem with you in mind. With that I conclude, which everybody here and beyond, a Gemar Chasima Toiva, Agit Geben Shdiur Ashnas, Geule Vishua, Amen V'Amen.